إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah, we praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our first session in a new topic that is going to be taken from a chapter from the explanation of Riyad al-Salihin by the famous Imam, Al-Imam al-Nawawi. And this explanation is the explanation of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, in which he has briefly discussed some of the hadith that came under the chapter entitled Bab Al-Mubadara Ila Al-Khayrat وَحَثُّ مَنْ تَوَجَّحَ لِخَيْرٍ عَلَى الْإِقْبَالِ عَلَيْهِ بِالْجِدْ مِنْ غَيْرِ تَرَدُّدِ. And inshallah we're going to talk about the meaning of this chapter as we enter into the reading from the explanation of Imam Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah. The first thing, before we actually begin the reading of the introduction to this chapter, I want to say that whatever topic we study, whether it is from the books of Aqeedah, and this is the foundation of Islam and the most important thing that a Muslim must devote oneself to, understanding the correct aqidah of Islam. What is it that we believe? This is the most important thing. This is the foundation of Islam. Everything is based upon this. And by this we mean, first and foremost, a tawheed, and all that branches out from it in terms of what we believe in from the arkan of iman, the fundamental pillars of what we believe in, as well as the branches. Whether what we are studying is from tafsir of the Quran, or whether it is from the books of hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or whether it is from the matters of interaction, dealings, muamalat in business or social interaction, whatever it might be, Islamic law, the laws of worship or otherwise, it is incumbent upon us to be reminded, to remind one another, and to be reminded that this knowledge that we are seeking must be with the intent of acting upon it for the sake of Allah alone. And all of us are familiar with the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, in which he said that on Yawm al-Qiyamah, no human being will go forth until they are asked about four or five things. They will be asked about their lifespan and about their youth, and they will be asked about their wealth, how did they get it and how did they use it. And they will also be asked, مَاذَا عَمِلَ بِمَا عَلِمَ مَاذَا عَمِلَ بِمَا عَلِمَ, meaning now what did you عَمِل, what did you do with that which you knew, with the knowledge that you attained? It's incumbent upon us, by Allah we'll be asked about this knowledge, these books that we have read, or that we have heard, or that we have discussed, we will be asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what did we do with that which we knew? We learned it For what purpose? Other than to act upon it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in another hadith, and the general principle is applicable across the board, Al-Qur'an hujjatun laka aw alayka. Al-Qur'an hujjatun laka aw alayka. Naam. Meaning? Naam, the Qur'an will be a hujjah, will be a proof for you or against you. Yani it will be a proof for you if you acted upon it, that you were in accordance with it, with what Allah revealed. And it will be a proof against you if you knew it and you didn't act upon it. So I'm reminding myself and each of us from time to time, and this is a good time, as good a time as any, that is incumbent upon us to make sure that our intent in this gathering, in our coming together, is that we are seeking knowledge, not for the accumulation of knowledge sake, but rather in order to act upon it, to be yani able to do that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we can act with knowledge and not out of ignorance. So that being said, every one of us then might ask ourselves from time to time, what are we doing with that which we are learning? This chapter from this book is an extremely important topic. Al-mubadara ila al-khayrat. Yani rushing, hurrying, hastening to all types of good deeds. Without delay, without hesitation. Yani being hasty in doing good deeds. Being quick to respond when we are reminded or when we came to know about good deeds. It is an extremely important topic. And just reading through this chapter over the last few days, it affected me in such a way that I felt that I had lost a lot by not having read this chapter more recently. Because sometimes we read and then we forget. It goes to the back and it goes away and it passed by us. And we lose the effect of it. And then we become slack. And we become negligent. And this is a reminder to us to hasten, to hurry, to rush, to do good deeds whenever we know it, whenever we are reminded of it. And we hope that this is what we're going to do. May Allah grant us tawfiq to act upon what we hear and not be like the people who just collect information so that we can say we know a lot. May Allah save us from this. Naam. So, let me begin first by mentioning a very, very, very brief, yani in the book, and hopefully everybody has a copy of the book. Hopefully everybody has a copy of the book. And we tried to make available as many copies as possible with the help of some of our brothers, mashallah, yani so that everybody can have a copy of the book, either in Arabic or in English. And in the book, and in the translation of this book, there's a good biography of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, somewhat lengthy. So I just want to summarize what I think are some of the important points that need to be mentioned. And everyone can go back and read that biography or other biographies of the Shaykh. And there are lengthy biographies and even books, four books that have been written about his life and the events of his life and incidents that people remember from him that are indeed inspiring. Indeed inspiring. So in this brief biography that I summarized in one page, we wrote his name, place, and date of birth. And he is Al-Allama. And this Allama means a person, a very high level scholar, person of knowledge. Al-Faqih, the person who was specialist in the Islamic jurisprudence. Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Salih ibn Muhammad ibn al-Uthaymeen al-Tamimi al-Najdi. And he was born in the city of Unayza in Qasim region. Yani there's an area in Saudi Arabia that's known as Qasim, the region of Qasim. And within it there are some major cities, and from amongst them is Unayza in Saudi Arabia. He was born in Unayza in the Qasim region on the 27th of the month of Ramadan in the year 1347. Naam. In the year 1347. What year are we in now? 1439. So how does that place us? How long ago was he born about? And almost 100 years. He was born in a famous religious family. And by the way, yani Muhammad ibn Salih al-Taymin, there's a story which we don't have time to tell now, but his father was named Salih because of a dream of his grandfather. But it turned out that even though his father was Salih, he was a righteous man, but the one that was really intended was the grandson. Naam. From his most prominent teachers, and he had a lot of teachers, is Shaykh Abdurrahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'adi, his first and foremost, most important teacher, rahimahullah. And from amongst his most important teachers, after Shaykh Abdurrahman al-Sa'adi, is Al-Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah. Yani, indeed, one of the Imams of our era. And also, from amongst his prominent teachers, Al-Imam Muhammad Amin al-Shanqiti, rahimahullah. Probably the foremost scholar of tafsir in this century. Naam. And many other teachers. His teaching style and occupation, when he entered into teaching, a great number of students from inside and outside Saudi Arabia benefited from him. Indeed, when I visited Qasim and visited the Sheikh, yani maybe 20 years ago or so, almost that long ago, there were so many students that was sponsored by the Sheikh himself. Yani he was taking care of their maintenance, housing, food, clothing, everything. That was unbelievable. From all over the world, from every country in the earth, people came to study with him. Not just from his country, but from everywhere in the world. Indeed, the students came from inside and outside of Saudi Arabia to benefit from him. He had his own unique style of interpretation and explanation of religious points. And whoever heard him teach, even after his death, rahimahullah, you will know what this means. If you heard the way that he teach, his unique style in teaching. He was from amongst those scholars who served Islam without any type of religious prejudice, yani meaning to a madhab, or to a view or a position, other than sticking to the truth, that which is based upon the Quran and the Sunnah. Yani, he was from amongst those who served Islam without any type of religious prejudice and kept themselves away from the limitations of blind following, to the extent that some of the people complained. And I remember meeting a student of knowledge who was sent outside of Saudi Arabia, who was sent from Saudi Arabia to a markaz Da'wah al-Irshad, yani to be the mudir of a Da'wah center. He was a student of knowledge, a strong student of knowledge, and a good brother. And I remember having some yani differences with him over some of the opinions of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen that contradicted the madhab. Some people were not pleased with this, because he opposed many opinions of the Hanbali madhab. But that was something that is praiseworthy, that he wasn't a blind follower. He was distinguished in his great exertion of effort in religious matters, yani ijtihad, and analogical deductions, al-qiyas, which clearly prove the religious understanding he possessed and the correct usage of the principles of religion that he had adopted. In giving religious verdicts, like al-Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah, the fatawa of Imam ibn Uthaymeen, and his religious rulings and verdicts are based upon the minhaj of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, which is derived from the Quran and the Sunnah. He was a professor of Usuluddin in the Sharia faculty, yani the Kulliyat al-Sharia of Imam Muhammad ibn Saud Islamic University in the Qasim branch. And he was also a member of the Council of Senior Scholars of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. And he was the Imam and the Khatib of the Grand Mosque in the city of Unayza. Among his well-known translated works, and his works are innumerable, but amongst those, I tried to yani identify some of those that were translated so that people can go back and look for some of these books. and Aqidah, the explanations of Kitab al-Tawheed, which is a book that is azim. Yani Kitab al-Tawheed is an extremely important book, and his explanation of it is one of the best. His explanation of Al-Usul al-Thalatha, the three fundamentals, Al-Aqidah al-Wasatiyah, yani the book of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, Lumat al-Itiqad, yani the book of Al-Imam ibn Qadamah, Kashf al-Shubahat, the book of Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, along with his own book that he authored that wasn't an explanation, The Exemplary Foundations Concerning the Beautiful Names and Attributes of Allah, and a tremendous book dealing with the Asma of Allah and the Sifat of Allah. The Minhaj of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, yani a small book, Minhaj Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah fil Aqidah wal Amal, which is also a tremendous book that we did have a chance to study some long time ago, and the Aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah and the Divine Decree, and a lot of other books. And Tafsir, Introduction to the Principles of Tafsir, the Tafsir of Ayatul Kursi, and even he has a Tafsir, yani from his yani recordings, they began to yani put that into print, Tafsir of the Quran, entirely. In Hadith, yani the book that we are taking this chapter from, his explanation of Riyadus Salihin, very, very, very important book of Hadith, and his explanation of Al-Arba'in, the 40 Hadith of Imam Nawawi. Both of these books are yani from the most famous and important books of Al-Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah, yani Riyad al-Salihin and the 40 Hadith of Imam Nawawi. In Fiqh and Fatawa, the Fatawa Arkan al-Islam, which is a tremendous book that is read here in this masjid, yani from beginning to end, Fatawa Arkan al-Islam, description of the Prophet's prayer, Sujood al-Sahwa, very important book about the person, yani how the person makes up for mistakes in prayer, gatherings during the month of Ramadan, 48 questions on fasting, and so on. And finally, his character, in brief, Imam Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, was famous for his simplicity and his modesty. His simplicity, was a very simple man. Yani the way he lived, the house that he lived in, the car that he drove, the way that he dressed. He was a simple man. Modest, along with his exemplary manners, and his adab, with everyone that he encountered, young and old, rich and poor, Arab and non-Arab. And he was known for his exemplary character, as well as his unique style in presenting topics, free of dogmatic arguments. He was among the preeminent scholars of this century, and he passed away on the Wednesday, the 15th of Shawwal, in the year 1421 of the Hijra, or 2001 of the Christian era, at the age of 74. He was buried in Mecca. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon his soul. Ameen. And this is a brief introduction to the explainer, the sharih of this book, of this chapter, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen. And of course, yani we have summarized it for more than one reason. One, yani the Imam, alhamdulillah, is very famous and well known to most of us, if not all of us. And then there are plenty of biographies that anyone can refer back to benefit, yani from some of the points concerning his life. After this, yani we want to go straight into the introduction of this chapter. And again, this is a chapter that's taken from the sharh, yani the explanation of Riyad al-Salihin, the Gardens of the Righteous, by Al-Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah. The chapter is entitled Bab Al-Mubadara Ila Al-Khayrat. Al-Mubadara Ila Al-Khayrat. That is, chapter hastening, rushing, hurrying to do something without delay. Al-Mubadara Ila Al-Khayrat. Yani what does al-mubadara il-khayrat? Means that when a person knows something is good, according to the Quran and Sunnah, according to the Sharia, something that's pleasing to Allah, they hasten, they rush, they hurry, they move on it promptly to do it without delay. This is the meaning of al-mubadara. That we hasten to the doing of the good deeds, all type of good deeds. وَحَفْ مَنْ تَوَجَّهَ لِخَيْرٍ على الإقبال عليه بالجد من غير تردد. And the urging or inciting the one who is turning towards good, يعني who is headed towards good, who is moving in the direction of خير, encouraging them, يعني inciting them, urging that person who is going towards good, urging them على الإقبال عليه بالجد, that they move forward, that they apply themselves in doing that good, يعني with seriousness, with earnestness, with diligence. يعني being serious about the matter. Take it. If you are heading towards good, يعني move forward, advance with seriousness, with earnestness, with diligence. من غير تردد, without any hesitation, without any reluctance, without any wavering. يعني be certain and move forward without delay. This is the title that Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has given to this chapter. By the way, Imam Nawawi was a famous Imam, yani who wrote a lot of important books, and I think all of us know about Imam Nawawi. And from the most important of his books is the explanation of Sahih Muslim. A very important book explaining one of the most important books of hadith. And from his books that are well known, yani from the important books that he wrote, is also yani the book that we are taking this chapter from. The collection of these tremendous important hadith, yani which he entitled Riyadh al-Salihin. And I think all of us have heard of Riyadh al-Salihin, Gardens of the Righteous. Hopefully we have read it, or at least read from it and benefited from it. And from amongst his books, yani from the first of books that I ever heard of hadith that I read and possessed, was the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi. Yani one of the first books that was translated into English for us in the non-Arabic countries. And we used to read that book, yani with diligence, with earnestness, with yani seriousness. We used to believe that this was important. And today people take it as though it's yani insignificant, because of the kathratul kutub al-an. Yani there are so many books that we forgot about, small books that we thought were insignificant. A tremendous book, the 40 hadith of Al-Imam An-Nawawi. And other books. Al-Imam Nawawi was born in the year 631. So that is about yani 800 years ago. And he died in the year 676. Which means he lived for how long? Huh? 44 or 45 years. Naam. Approximately 44 or 45 years. And if you add it up, it's 45. But of course, and he, depending on when he was born in the end of the year and when he died in the beginning of the year, it might not really complete 45, right? But he lived a short time, 44 years. And he wrote so many books, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And the value of the books that he wrote. So indeed, yani we can't go past this without mentioning this great Imam, Al-Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah, yani who, yani the hadith that we're going to be studying in this class are taken from his collection, from the chapter yani entitled Al-Mubadara ila al-Khayrat. Yani hastening, rushing, hurrying to all types of good deeds, and encouraging, urging, prompting, inciting the one who is turning towards good to move forward, to devote themselves to it, to dedicate themselves to it, yani to yani doing, implementing that good, yani moving forward with diligence and eagerness and earnestness, without hesitation, without yani reluctance. After the title, Al-Imam An-Nawawi, he mentions yani two ayahs from the Quran in his introduction to this chapter. Two ayahs from the Quran, and then he mentions eight hadith. So today, inshallah, we want to read those two ayahs, and then we want to begin with the explanation of these, of the title of this chapter, and yani whatever we can take from these two ayahs before we enter into the hadith that are collected under this chapter heading. And after mentioning the chapter heading, he says, قال الله تعالى فاستبقوا الخيرات, يعني hasten, in doing good deeds. Yani, try to be first in doing good deeds, to outdo others, to be the first one to do it. Not just to be there, but be ahead of everyone else. Rush, hasten. Yani, try to precede others in doing good. This is mentioned from Surah Al-Baqarah, 2nd Surah, 148th Ayat. فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. Hasten to do good deeds, to surpass others, to outdo others. Yani, to be in the forefront, to leave yani others behind you. And the saying of Allah in Surah Ali Imran, 3rd Surah, 133rd Ayat. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ أَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. To the end of it. Yani the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten, sari'u, quickly, to rush, to march forward, ila maghfiratin, to forgiveness, min rabbikum, from your Rabb, wa jannatin, and a paradise, arduha as-samawati wal ard, yani its width is as the width of the heavens and the earth, u'iddat lil muttaqin, and it has been prepared, made ready, for the people of taqwa. Yani the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hasten towards forgiveness from your Rabb and a paradise whose width is as the width of the heavens and the earth, it has been prepared for the people of taqwa. Yani this Jannah is prepared for the people of taqwa. Yani the deeds of taqwa are those deeds which will cause a person to reach this Jannah. And in what follows, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the muttaqeen, the people of taqwa, and he describes their actions. And the Shaykh discusses it in some detail. As far as the explanation, the sharh of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, rahmatan wasi'a, he said, قَالَ الْمُؤَلِّفْ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. قَالَ الْمُؤَلِّفْ. Al-Mu'allif means, what do we mean here by mu'allif? The author, the mu'allif, the one who, yani, composed, who compiled, who wrote the book that we are having under discussion. قال المؤلف رحمه الله تعالى باب المبادرة. Here the Shaykh al-Uthaymeen رحمه الله, يعني he mentions the bab, يعني he explains his, يعني the understanding. He doesn't quote exactly the bab as it came in the book, but he quotes the meaning of it in his own words. يعني باب المبادرة إلى الخيرات وحثوا من أقبل على الخير أن يتمه من غير تردد. يعني he explains the meaning of the chapter in some different words that contain the same meaning. يعني hastening to the خيرات, the good things, and encouraging من أقبل على الخير, the one who has went forward to do good, and يتمه, to complete it. Yani the person has got on the track, encouraging them to complete and perfect the good that they are heading towards. من غير تردد, without any hesitation. Yani without any reluctance or wavering or second thought. And then he says, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, وَهَذَا الْعُنْوَانِ تَضَمَّنَ أَمْرَيْنِ. Yani this title of this chapter, it comprise, or it includes, or contains within it, two affairs, two matters, two matters. Al-awwal, the first of them, is al-mubadara wal-musara ila al-khair. Yani hastening, rushing, hurrying to do all types of good. This is the first matter that is understood from this title. Yani that we should hasten, it is incumbent upon us to not be lazy, to do not delay, do not be slow, but hasten to the doing of good. And the second matter, and the Shaykh explains this first matter in detail. And the second matter was ثاني أن الإنسان إذا عزم على شيء وهو خير فليمضي فيه ولا يتردد ولا يتردد. Now, the second matter is that the human being, whenever they have resolved upon doing something, yani they have made a commitment, yani they have decided, they have made a decision, yani to do something, if it is good, that thing that they have decided to do, yani the Shaykh, he says, إِذَا عَزَمَ عَلَى شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ خَيْرٍ. Meaning, if a person was determined, resolved to do something, and it was غير خير, and it wasn't good, then don't go forward with it. But if you resolve to do something and it's خير, then he said, then execute it. Carry it out without hesitation. Don't let anything cause you to delay in the doing of khair. These two matters, yani the first, hastening to do good, and the second, when a person has made firm resolve to do something and it is good, then complete it, execute it, go forward with it without hesitation. أما الأول, as far as the first of these affairs, the hastening to do good, فهو المبادرة وضد المبادرة التواني والكسل. يعني the first of these affairs is hastening, rushing, hurrying to do good, and the opposite of this is that a person moves slowly, that they hesitate, that they are lazy, that they take their time, they يعني become undecided and they don't move forward. They move slowly. Yani like some of us, may Allah save us from such, but we hear the adhan and we move slowly. Instead of hastening, get up immediately when you hear the adhan, make wudu. Prepare yourself to leave your house, brothers, and hasten to the masjid without delay. Sometimes we delay and we delay and we delay for whatever reason, and we don't go. Or we get there late and we miss one rak'ah or two rak'ah, we miss the whole salat in jama'ah. This is because of what? Because of moving slowly, hesitating, delaying, when we should be hastening. The opposite of al-mubadara, it is tawani wal-kasal. And a person moves slowly, lazily. وَكَمْ مِنْ إِنسَانٍ تَوَانَ وَكَسَلَ فَفَاتَهُ يعني خير كثير. How many of the people, how many times has it happened to a human being that they moved slowly, يعني with hesitance or reluctance or lazily, فَفَاتَهُ خَيْرٌ كَثِيرٌ, and therefore a lot of good has passed them by. I mean, we don't have to look for anybody, just look at ourselves. Wallahi, just look at ourselves. نعم أخي نعم طيب. How many times did it happen to a person, to ourselves, that we moved too slow and it passed us by? خير كثير. ولهذا قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام المؤمن القوي خير وحب إلى الله من المؤمن الضعيف وفي كل خير احرص على ما ينفعك واستعن بالله ولا تعجز. To the end of the hadith. And the Shaykh quotes this part of it, which is relevant to our discussion. يعني the strong believer, المؤمن القوي. And we want to emphasize the point that the strong believer is strong in many ways, but the most essential aspect of his strength is in his iman. Because al-mu'min al-qawi, meaning qawi is a sifa describing iman. Iman, al-mu'min al-qawi. Though he might or she might be strong in other things too, but the most important thing, al-mu'min al-qawi, is khair, is better, وَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ, and more beloved to Allah, مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنَ الدَّعِيفِ, than the weak believer. Yani the believer, who is a believer, but weak in their iman, or weak in other areas. And the Prophet ﷺ said, وَفِي كُلٍ خَيْرٌ وَفِي كُلٍ خَيْرٌ. In each one of them, there's khair. Why is that? Because both of them have iman. Naam. And then the Prophet ﷺ said that which is relevant to our topic now, احرص على ما ينفعك واستعن بالله ولا تعجز. احرص على ما ينفعك, يعني be diligent and eager in going after that which benefits you. واستعن بالله, and seek help from Allah. ولا تعجز, and do not be helpless. Do not feel that you are incapable. احرص على ما ينفعك. Be حريص. And be eager in going after that which benefits you. And the greatest thing that will benefit you is obedience to Allah. Is fulfilling the commands of Allah. And avoiding His prohibitions. Seeking knowledge of this deen so that you can worship Allah correctly. And doing it for the sake of Allah. This is the greatest benefit. Sometimes we are diligent and eager in seeking money. And we go after it eagerly, diligently. And there's nothing wrong with that, if it's by lawful means. But we should not be more diligent in seeking the things of this world that are lawful, that are lawful. We should not be more diligent in seeking those things than we are in seeking the hereafter. When the Prophet ﷺ said, احرص على ما ينفعك, يعني the most important thing that will benefit you is your hereafter. يعني doing the things that will make a way for you with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the hereafter. وَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ And seek help from Allah in doing it. وَلَا تَعَجِزْ And don't feel helpless. يعني if you have worked hard, you have strove and made every effort to diligently seek that which is good, and you asked Allah's help, why should you feel helpless? يعني what is there that's beyond Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ability to give you if He wants to give it to you? So the Shaykh, he mentioned this, يعني as a reminder to us to be diligent, to eagerly seek that which is khair. And this hadith reported by Imam Muslim. Then he says, فالإنسان ينبغي له أن يسارع في الخيرات كل ما ذكر له شيء من الخير بادر إليه. يعني the human being, it is incumbent, it is befitting of the human being to hasten, to hurry, to rush, to do all types of good deeds. Every time something of good is mentioned to him, he should hasten, rush, hurry to do it. Yani somebody reminded you, never mind who that person is. You like them or you don't like them. It's your friend or not. It's somebody you don't like or you hate or whatever. Doesn't matter. If that person reminded you of khair, hasten to do it. Doesn't matter who it came from. And sometimes the reminder came from other people who we might not want to take from. But the khair, if it came, wherever it came. Yani when Allah reminded us of khair, hasten to do it. And from amongst those things that one should hasten to when they're reminded of, he said, As-salat, was-sadaqah, was-sawm, wal-hajj, wa-birru walidain, was-silat al-arham. Yani the prayers, and the charity, and fasting, and pilgrimage, and being dutiful and kind to one's parents. Yani of the greatest of good that a person can do is to be dutiful to one's parents. Yani the Shaykh mentioned this not by accident. Indeed, in his mind, he probably could have mentioned 20 or 30 or 40 items. But he mentioned the pillars of Islam. As-salat, was-zakat, was-siyam, wal-hajj. And then he mentioned immediately after that, birru walidain. So if a person has parents who are living, be conscious of this important matter of the khairat. And keeping ties with one's blood relatives. إلى غير ذلك من مسائل الخير التي ينبغي المسارع عليها. And other things other than that, from those good things that it is incumbent upon us to hasten to them. Indeed, because the human being doesn't know, ربما, يعني perhaps, نعم, it's possible, we don't know. Perhaps you will be slow in moving on doing some khair, and then after that you will not be able to do it. Yani you will be unable to do it after that. For whatever reason. Yani you slow to do it, and it might, yani you might find yourself in a position where you won't be able to do it tomorrow. And the Shaykh says, إِمَّا بِمَوْتٍ أَوْ مَرْضٍ أَوْ فَوَاتٍ أَوْ غَيْرُ ذَلِكَ Yani why is it that yani you might not be able to do it later, after that? Because you might die. Or you might get sick. Or it might pass you by. The opportunity, it may present itself for a time, and then it passed you by. How many times a person had an opportunity, perhaps to go to Hajj, and they said, "Ani, I'll sign up. I'll send my money in. I'll talk to somebody, travel agency, next week, tomorrow, next month, next pay." And then the opportunity passed them by. How many of us didn't perform the pilgrimage, though we might have been able, but we didn't do it yet? Subhanallah. This is a serious matter. The Shaykh, he says, it has come in the hadith from the Prophet ﷺ, إِذَا رَادَ أَحَدُكُمَ الْحَجِّ فَلْيَتَعَجَّلْ فَإِنَّهُ قَدْ يَمْرَدُ الْمَرِيدُ وَتَضِلُّ الرَّاحِلَةُ وَتَعْرِضُ الْحَاجَةُ. Hadith reported by Ibn Majah, Ahmed, Abu Dawood, and others, and Shaykh al-Albani said that the hadith is Hassan, and in Sahih al-Jami'. Yani, if one of you intends to perform the pilgrimage, then hasten without delay. The Prophet ﷺ said, you intend to perform pilgrimage, hasten to do it quickly, without delay. For perhaps sickness may overcome a sick person. Or one's rahila, yani one's vehicle, yani means of conveyance, may become lost, may become unavailable. Or some other yani need might yani surface, might arise. A person might yani be intended to make Hajj and have the money to do it and delay it, and then yani some unforeseen bill may come and they end up not being able to go. Perhaps a person yani something may occur that will prevent that person from doing the good. فَسَارِعْ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَلَا تَتَوَانِي. So hasten to do good and do not move slowly. Do not delay. Do not put off yani until later what you can do now. Here, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Thaymeen, he said, the Mu'allif, yani meaning Al-Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah, mentions the saying of Allah, yani introduction to this chapter, فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. So hasten to do all types of good. And the Shaykh says, وَاسْتَبِقُوهَا يَعْنِي اِسْبِقُوا إِلَيْهَا. Yani the meaning here of istabiqu, he said it means be first, be foremost, outdo others in doing it. Not just yani compete or rush or hasten, but be first in doing it. Be the first one to do it. Be ahead of everyone else. And this meaning, he said, is far more far-reaching, more yani the meaning of it is yani greater than the meaning of sabiqu ila al-khayrat. Yani sabiqu, compete with one another in doing good. Rather, he said, be first in doing good. Don't just be in competition, be the first. Be ahead of everyone else. But how can you do that if you hesitate and you delay and you put off and you move slowly? You will never be first. He said, so al-istibaq ma'anahu, yani the meaning of this, he said, is that أَنَّ الْإِنسَانِ يَسْبِقُوا إِلَى الْخَيْرِ, yani that they be foremost, first. وَيَكُونُ مِنْ أَوَّلَ النَّاسِ فِي الْخَيْرِ, yani be the first of the people to do the good. مِنْ أَوَّلَ النَّاسِ, not just be there, but be from the first of the people. Don't just pray in the jama'ah, but be in the saf al-awwal. Naam. Yani these are not just noble ideas. This is real life. This is what we are supposed to be doing. Yani we have to examine ourselves and see how we have become slack and negligent, and we have fallen back, and we are not first in doing good. Perhaps some of us are not first in anything, in our religious affairs or otherwise. We just, I don't know what they call that, the people who are content just with yani being there, if there's a word for that. Yani, we don't have that urgency or that eagerness or diligence yani to be on top of the affair. The Shaykh said, the meaning here is what? That we should be first. We should be the first of the people of khair. وَمِنَ الْمُسَابَقَ فِي الصُّفُوفِ فِي الصَّلَاةِ. And from this is being in the front lines of the prayer. For indeed the Prophet ﷺ said, خَيْرُ صُفُوفَ الرِّجَالِ أَوَّلُهَا وَشَرُّهَا آخِرُهَا. Yani the best of the lines, the ranks in prayer for the men are the first of them, and the worst of them are the last of them. Yani this is something to think about. خَيْرُ صُفُوفَ, the best of the lines for the men are the first of them. That means it's important to be in the front. Don't be satisfied to be in the second or third or the last line. This is best, to be in the front, said our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And some of us, we are content to be in the back. وَقَالَ, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in reference to the women, وَخَيْرُ صُفُوفَ النِّسَاءِ آخِرُهَا وَشَرُّهَا أَوَّلُهَا. And the best of lines for the women are the last lines, and the worst of the lines for the women are the first lines. In this hadith reported by Al-Imam Muslim. And then the Shaykh says, yani Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw some people who were in the back of the masjid, and they didn't yani come first. لَمْ يَسْبِقُوا وَلَمْ يَتَقَدَّمُوا. They didn't come early first, nor did they even see openings in the front and just go forward and try to get in the front. And if they didn't come first, and they didn't try to get up to the front. They just sat in the back. Oh, how common this is. Oh, how common this is. And perhaps a person has a reason for doing so, Allahu A'lam. But this is the rule. And let us be of those who remind one another of good. And let us be of those who, when we are reminded, we move upon it. Naam. The Shaykh, he says, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam,
give me one of those batteries from up there. Or two.
Huh? Okay, in any case, it's on right now. So we'll try to make it work, inshallah. I'll try to watch this. Tayyib, the Shaykh, he says, yani, the best of lines for the men are the first of them, and the worst of them are the last of them. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw some people in the back of the masjid. They had not come first, nor did they move forward to the front. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَا يَزَالُ قَوْمٌ يَتَأَخَّرُونَ حَتَّى يُؤَخِّرَهُمُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And in some of the narrations it said, حَتَّى يُؤَخِّرُهُمُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And some of the narrations, yani in the Sunan of Abu Dawood, he said, حَتَّى يُؤَخِّرُهُمُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ فِي النَّارِ. يعني لَا يَزَالُ قَوْمٌ يَتَأَخَّرُونَ. Some people will continue to remain behind until Allah, يُؤَخِّرُهُمْ, until Allah will cause them to be behind. يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. Some of the scholars, they said the meaning here, that Allah will cause them to be behind, يعني عَنْ رَحْمَتِهِ, be the last of those who will receive His mercy. عَنْ عَظِيمْ فَضْلِهِ, on the bounties and favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An jannatihi, from entering paradise, and so on. And some of the scholars said, yani, that they will be last in doing likewise the other good deeds. Sa'ir al-amal al-khayr. Yani that as they didn't care about hastening for the salat, likewise that's how they will be with the rest of their deeds of khayr. And this hadith, yani, makes us to know, it's reported by Al-Imam Muslim, and Ahmed, and Abu Dawood, and Nasa'i, and Ibn Majah, Ibn Khuzaymah, Al-Bayhaqi, and others, rahimahumullah. Yani, this hadith makes us to know the importance of what? Of hastening forward. Don't remain behind. Don't delay. Don't move slow. Don't hesitate. Rather, rush. Hurry. Hasten to the khair. The Shaykh says, take advantage of the fursa and be first in doing the khair. Yani the opportunity presents itself, take advantage of it. And then the Shaykh, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he mentions the ayat, and he just mentioned this ayat and stop with it. He mentions, his brief discussion concerning it, he said, from what Al-Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah mentioned in the introduction to this chapter, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَسَارِئُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِكُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ. To the end of the ayat, the Shaykh says, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hasten, in seeking the forgiveness of your Rabb, and a Jannah, its width is as the width of the heavens and the earth, it has been prepared for the people of taqwa. This Jannah is the Jannah for the people of taqwa. And it is their deeds of taqwa. This is the meaning of it. It is the deeds of taqwa that will cause them to reach it. And who are the muttaqeen? الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّةِ. Those who spend. From amongst their characteristics are that they spend in ease and in difficulty. When they have plenty or when they have little. And when they have plenty, they spend lots. And when they have little, they still spend. From the characteristics of the people of taqwa. The Shaykh, he says, سارعوا إلى مغفرة وجنة. Hasten for the forgiveness and hasten for the paradise. As far as hastening for the forgiveness, then it is that a person is quick in what? In going towards that which contains forgiveness of sins. Quick, hurrying to do those things which contain forgiveness of sins. Seeking forgiveness, like saying Astaghfirullah. I seek forgiveness of Allah. Oh Allahumma ghfirli. Oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, inni astaghfiruka. Oh Allah, indeed, I seek forgiveness from you. And that which is similar to this. And we know that in the Sunnah there are plenty of authentic narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for seeking forgiveness. And likewise, also, the meaning of hastening. وَسَارِئُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. For forgiveness from your Rabb, it also includes al-isra, hastening for that which ma fihi al-maghfira, that which within it, that which it encompasses or contains is forgiveness, like al-wudu, like performing wudu. It is the means of earning forgiveness, or the five prayers that we perform in the day and in the night, obligatory prayers, or performing one Jumu'ah until the next Jumu'ah, one fasting, one Ramadan until the next Ramadan. For indeed, the person, when they make wudu, ablution, فَأَصْبَغَ الْوُضُوء, and they perform it well, perfectly, performing it perfectly, well, not sloppily, lazily, and then after they perform ablution, they said, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. And the Shaykh added, as in the narration of At-Tirmidhi, اللهم اجعلني من التوابين واجعلني من المتطهرين. This hadith, originally without these last words, is narrated by Al-Imam Muslim. That when a person performs wudu and performs it well, and then bears witness that there is nothing which deserves to be worshipped except Allah, and bears witness that Muhammad ﷺ is his servant and his messenger, and then they might add these words, as it is authentically narrated in the Sunan of At-Tirmidhi, O Allah, make me of those who are frequent in repenting to you, and make me of those who are frequent in purifying myself. Repentance, representing the purification of the inner being from sins. And the other purification is the outward purification of wudu or ghusl and the other means of purification. Make me of those who purify myself inwardly and outwardly. Not just washing the hands and face and head and feet, but removing the impurities of the sins that we commit by day and by night. So the person who says this, this is the means of purification. And in the end of the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that the eight doors of paradise would be open for this person who performs a well-performed ablution and recites these words after it. The eight gates of paradise will be open for them, and they will enter by any one of them that they will. And likewise, from the means of purification, the Shaykh said, is making wudu, which removes the sins will come forth from the limbs that are washed in wudu. When a person makes wudu, as the water comes from the body parts that are washed, the sins also go away with them. The sins are removed with the last drop of water that comes from their body from performing ablution. And the Shaykh says, فَهَذِهِ مِنْ أَسْبَابِ الْمَغْفِرَةِ. These are from the causes or the means through which a person attains or obtains forgiveness. These are from the means of obtaining forgiveness. And from the asbab of maghfira also, he said the five prayers, meaning the five daily prayers of the day, they are kafara and expiation for whatever is done between them as long as the person avoids major sins. And one Jumu'ah until the next Jumu'ah is a kafara, expiation for whatever is performed, whatever is committed between them, as long as a person avoids the kabair, the major sins. And likewise, yani fasting one Ramadan until the next is an expiation for whatever sins occurred, as long as the person avoids the major sins. فَلْيُسَارِعُ الْإِنسَانِ إِلَىٰ أَسْبَابِ الْمَغْفِرَةِ. So the Shaykh said it is incumbent. فَلْيُسَارِعُ. It is incumbent. It is obligatory for a human being to hasten in taking hold of the causes or the means of earning forgiveness. And the second matter, the Shaykh said in this ayat, and this is where we're going to stop. The second matter is, the Jannah whose width is as the width of the heavens and the earth. وَهَذَا يَكُونُ بِفِعْلَ الْمَأْمُورَاتِ. And this, yani, earning the Jannah whose width is as the width of the heavens and the earth, it is by doing the things that we have been commanded with. By doing al-ma'murat, the things that we have been commanded with. Doing those things, fulfilling the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is, that a person hastens to Jannah bil-amal laha. Not by wishing and hoping, but by doing actions that lead towards the favor of Allah and the mercy of Allah through which we enter Jannah. Not by paying with our deeds, because nobody can enter Jannah by their deeds alone. Rather, the deeds that we do earn the favor of Allah and the mercy of Allah through which we enter Jannah bifadlihi wa rahmatihi. So the Shaykh said, so hasten towards Jannah by the deeds, the amal, the deeds that are for Jannah. وَلَا عَمَلْ لِلْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا الْعَمَلَ الصَّالِحِ. And there's no deeds that entitle a person to Jannah, or that will be the means of a person being admitted by the favor of Allah to Jannah, except righteous deeds. وَهَذَا هُوَ الَّذِي يَكُونُ سَبَبًا لِدُخُولَ الْجَنَّةِ فَسَارِعُ إِلَيْهِ. And this is the thing that will be the cause or the means for entering the Jannah. Therefore, hasten, hasten to doing righteous deeds. And here the Shaykh says, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made clear about this Jannah, that its width is as the width of the heavens and the earth, and this indicates its vastness and its greatness, and that no one is able to estimate its true extent or its value or its worth or its greatness except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَسَارِعُوا إِلَىٰ هَذِهِ الْجَنَّةِ بِفِعْلْ مَا يُوصِلُكْ إِلَيْهَا مِنَ الْعَمَالِ الصَّالِحَةِ. Therefore hasten, each of us, all of us must hasten to this Jannah. بِفِعْلْ, by doing that which will lead us to it from righteous actions. Naam. And the Shaykh goes on, yani, to talk about, yani, the people that this paradise has been prepared for, and the description that Allah mentions about them spending when they have plenty and when they have little, and about them restraining their rage or their anger, and about them pardoning the people who have wronged them, though they have the ability to execute punishment against them, and so on. To the end of, yani, these two ayats, the Shaykh explains some of this, or he discusses and talks about some of it in detail. For the sake of time, inshallah, we'll stop here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.